Blog Talk Radio.
Shakespeare, and we are here, praise the Lamb of God, in the studio. As an apostle of God, I just want to share with you all, praise the Lamb of God, that the divine love is in the house, praise the Lamb of God. God loves you, you and you, and we are grateful to God that he has allowed us, praise the Lamb of God, to touch so many of your lives across this last year. So I am indeed excited, praise the Lamb of God, about my intercessory team and those who are looking forward today, praise God, with anticipation of bombarding heaven on behalf of America, on behalf of our young people, on behalf of our young men especially. We believe that the Cain spirit has been released into the earth realm. We believe, praise the Lamb of God, that Satan has launched this unbrotherly brother, hallelujah, once again into our society, an end to, praise the Lamb of God, our communities, whereas that we are losing young men in unprecedented proportion, and this must stop. A generation is being wiped out. This must stop. So we are here today, praise the Lamb of God, to discuss, to look at, to consider, praise the Lamb of God, and do what we can in order to beseech the throne of God to move on the behalf of those of us that he loved, of those of us he has favored, of those of us he has given the blessed position as the gapper, to be able to stand in the gap because we have the anointing of the gapper. Hallelujah. God said, I sought for a man. Hallelujah. In his word, he says, I sought for a man, one that would stand in the gap, one that would make up the hedge. Hallelujah. And I found none. I found no one, said the Lamb of God. And because of this, God said he went and dressed in his war clothes and came to do battle with his own people because there was no intercessor. I sought for an intercessor, he said. Praise the Lamb of God. And today, God is looking for an intercessor. He's even looking greater. Praise the Lamb of God. I was reading this morning that the Lord, hallelujah, eyes is going to and fro through the earth. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Looking for those that trust in him that he might move on their behalf. Did you hear what I said? Praise the Lamb of God. The Lord God Almighty, hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty is going to and fro through the earth looking, praise the Lamb of God, for those that trust in him, for those that love him, that he might move on their behalf. Praise the Lamb of God. And I thank God today that Prophet Michael Shakespeare loves his Jesus. Hallelujah. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, and with all of my soul. Bless each of you today. Praise the Lamb of God. Area codes that's popping in. Those of you that's listening to my voice via the internet and you say, wow, I would like to be a part of this dynamic prayer ministry today. Hallelujah. The Lord already told me there's going to be a powerful move on this show today. Hallelujah. So shake a neighbor's tree. And also that he has a prophetic word, praise the Lamb of God, that he's going to release today, that he hasn't even, I don't think, he has talked to me about several things this morning. Praise the Lamb of God. It's been that kind of morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, he set this thing up so beautiful today, saints of God. It was just ironic, praise God. I had Gabriella, and, you know, children get up. They want to do what they want to do. They want to play. They want to do that. And I try my best to spend quality time with my daughter. Praise the Lamb. But today, hallelujah, for some strange reason, Angel just showed up. Praise the Lamb of God. My daughter Angel shows up, and she stops at the door, and she says, tell my little sister to come on out here. And then she said, I'm going to take her to the movies, and left. And when they closed the door, hallelujah, God began to speak. So I knew it was a divine setup, a divine arrangement, because the Lord wanted to speak to me in a private, praise the Lamb of God, way this morning. And I thank and praise God for, hallelujah, his love for me. I thank him because he has elected me in this day. And he could have chose anybody, hallelujah, to do his will. He could have chose anybody. Yes, he could have, praise the Lamb of God, but he chose you, and he chose me for a time such as this, praise the Lamb of God. And I've decided I'm going to do all I can in the time that I have, hallelujah. I bless each of you today that's calling in. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I wonder if anyone have a praise report. I'm looking for praise reports, praise the Lamb of God. That's one of the things that the Lord spoke to me too, was how he's going to move, praise the Lamb of God, upon the prophetic words that have been uttered already. So if anyone have a praise report, praise God, you can jump right on, hallelujah, and give your praise report. The next thing is we're lifting up the one I call my granddaughter, praise the Lamb of God, Chetuan. We're lifting her up in prayer. Her mother took her to the hospital, praise the Lamb of God, and they did find something wrong with her kidneys. Hallelujah. So she's believing God for a complete healing, praise the Lamb of God, and we are too. Yesterday, Gabriella, she had been diagnosed with arthritis in her knee. She had hurt her knee several times, repeatedly when she was a smaller, and the doctor said that she had arthritis in her knee and that she'll grow out of it. Well, sometimes if she just twists wrong or something like that, her knee gets inflamed and what have you, and she finds herself limping, and she was in that limping state yesterday, even when on the show. That's why she didn't say nothing. She just was in there in the bedroom, praise the Lamb of God, laying down, resting that leg. But when I saw her limping, she sat on me, and I gave my hand to the Lord, and I prayed, and I released healing in my hands, and I laid hands on her legs and rubbed her legs, and more specifically on the area, and I rebuked it, praise the Lamb of God. And I saw when she left, she was walking a little better. Of course, I'm looking for that instamatic healing, praise the Lamb. I wanted to hear the word immediately, praise the Lamb of God. Today, she runs and she comes in, she eases up the stairs, so I'm thinking her leg is bad. When she gets to the top, she runs around. I say, Gabby, you're going to hurt your leg. She said, Daddy, it's a miracle. God healed me. God healed me, Daddy. Look, there's no pain, there's nothing. And I praise God, praise the Lamb of God, that at her age even, praise the Lamb of God, that she has enough faith to believe that the Lord God has healed her. Praise the Lamb of God. My goodness gracious. My goodness gracious. Praise the Lamb. Hallelujah. I know some of you are having trouble. I'm hearing dialing in. Of course, that's the enemy. Be persistent today. Praise the Lamb of God. Do not give up and do not give over to the devil. Hallelujah. And have him thinking that all he has to do is not allow you to dial in and you're going to give up on calling. Hallelujah. We know that the enemy, praise the Lamb of God, desires for this show not to happen today. But we're going to pray, praise the Lamb of God. As soon as I get an intercessor in queue who will push one on the dial, we're going to pray that demon away. Hallelujah. Quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because let me tell you something, people of God. In this day and time, we must come to the place of recognizing the power of prayer. Prayer can work in electricity. Hallelujah. Don't think God can't work through these airways. Don't think God can't work through a telephone line. Don't think God cannot do it, because our God can do anything, praise the Lamb of God. And we serve that kind of God today. Hallelujah. My God, my God. Let me see who this is that then queued in. Praise the Lamb. So, 313304.
Good afternoon, Prophet.
Hey, son, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you today?
I feel good, man, and you sound good to me. Is all well?
Yeah. All is well. All is well. All is good, Prophet.
All is well with the family.
Everybody's good, you know. We got a couple things going on, but nothing God can't fix right now in this season. It's all good.
You know, the blessing of that son is to watch God do what he does. Praise the Lamb of God. To watch God do what he does in every situation. It's a growth and development, praise the Lamb of God, for you. And I thank God that you are having experiences promises that only a God can work out.
Yes, indeed.
Hallelujah. A miracle working God today. The Lamb. I wish I had faith people here. Praise the Lamb. He is a miracle working God. Wait a minute. Bertha queued in. And let's get Bertha in here, too. Bertha?
Hi, Papa. Hi, Brett. How are you doing?
Hey,
we're
Bertha.
Blessed today. How are you doing?
Blessed, highest favor of the Most High God. And welcome in my family.
Hallelujah. Now,
glory.
Tell me, Bertha, is your faith working today, though?
My faith always working.
Oh, she said she was on autopilot. Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Brett, that should have turned your faith mechanism on if it was off.
Amen. I'm kicking in. Amen.
He's kicking in. Praise the Lamb of God. Wait a minute. Here go another one. Praise God. Let's see who this is. Oh, my God. Intercessor got ripped. Him. There we go. 8-4.
Hi, Prophet, Bertha, and Brett. This is Sylvia.
Hey, Sylvia.
How you doing today, honey?
Sir?
Sylvia?
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
I am fine.
All right, Sylvia, I don't mean no harm. I know Patriot Ice today, but I want to ask you this, Lamb of God. I need to ask you this, Sylvia. Is your faith working today?
Yes.
Okay, because we don't want no faithless people on the line today. Praise the Lamb of God. Miracle believing. We need some people who are going to believe. Praise the Lamb of God. God can do what we ask them to do today. Praise the Lamb of God. Erico, who's calling?
Hi. This is Divine Favor, and my faith is working today.
She's been listening, y'all. Yeah, her faith cut on today. Praise the Lamb of God. She didn't want me to get her with her guards down. Erico, 3-4, who's calling? Erico, 734.
This is Raphael, Prophet.
Yeah, you got something to tell me, don't you? Better say it now.
My faith is working, Prophet.
Your faith is working. Praise the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, we have these intercessors lined up here. Boy, look at it. Two, it's four, it's five of them thus far, which is the number of favor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. You know what? The first demon that we're going to attack today as we give God praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Sylvia, I want you to come. I want Sylvia to be our first prayer today. I want her to come give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. For the day he's made, I want you to give God thanks and praise. Hallelujah.
Okay.
For all that he's done for us thus far. And what he's going to do for us today, hallelujah, and the future. And then I want you, praise the Lamb of God, to pray, hallelujah, against the spirit of confusion, praise the Lamb of God, on this show today. Because Satan is already working in the lines that some people can't get in, praise the Lamb of God. So we want to go to the throne room today, into his holy presence, praise the Lamb of God. Knowing that Jesus loves us today, knowing that he is our great intercessor, hallelujah, that has justified us, that has sanctified us, that have glorified
us,
given us access into the holy place. Oh, God,
is
the Lamb
thank
of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah to your name today, God. We thank you, Lord, for this journey, God. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning, God. We thank you for the day that you've already ordained, oh, God. Oh, God, we give you thanks, Lord. Oh, Father, we come loving on you today, God. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. As best as we know how, God, from these temples, oh, God, we say we love you today, God. Glory be to your name, Father. Have your way today. today, God. We enter your court with thanksgiving and praise, oh God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah to your name, God. For none like you, Lord. Have your way on today, oh God. We bind up, Father, the spirit of confusion, oh God. In the name of Jesus, it shall not have any room on this page, on the airlines, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you in advance, God, for your move, oh God, for your strength and your power, oh God. Release your power, oh God, from on high, oh God. Oh God, we stand in unity, oh God, bombard in heaven, oh God, that thy kingdom come, God, that thy will be done, God, on earth, Father, as it is in heaven, oh God. And Father, we say thank you for what you're about to do, Father, what you've already done, God, and what you're going to do in the future, God. We give you thanks and praise, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We glorify you today, God. Oh, God, we glorify you, oh, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for watching.
Thank you for being the great intercessor. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for performing miracles.
Oh,
thank you for testimonies, God.
Thank
you for increasing our faith, oh, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We appreciate you, Lord. You are faithful, God. We thank you for keeping us, keeping our hands, keeping our
mind. Yes, God. Right now,
thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for deliverance today, God.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. I feel God.
I'm right here.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, God.
Yes, God. Be praised for being
God.
Be magnified. Be exalted. Be lifted up.
Yes, God. Get the glory, Jesus.
And the Rabbah. For you, Father. Hallelujah. My bless you. And you, angel, praise of God. Hallelujah. Well, my daughter Andrea, praise the Lamb of God, and she's going to come and pray. And Favor is going to come and pray for us. Praise the Lamb of God in just a minute. And I just want you all to know, God, hallelujah, that we're still praying for our sick and shut in. Hallelujah.
For our
sister, our daughter, praise the Lamb of God, Shatwan. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Everybody, Shatwan. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're praying for Shatwan that the Lord will heal. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That kidney, praise
the
Lord.
Several on the day, including divine favor that have took prayer requests for fathers and things of that nature and people.
Yes.
Lamb of God, hallelujah. I was praying over some of that this morning, praying over our intercessors this morning. Praise the Lamb, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I have to pray for you all too. Praise God, hallelujah, that God will strengthen and that Satan won't get a hold to you because you are. Praise the Lamb of God. Bertha, you're precious to me, hallelujah. Sylvia, you're precious. Praise the Lamb of God.
Yes, Lord.
So
yes.
You're precious.
Yes,
you're
Lord.
In the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lamb of God.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. You're precious. You're precious. You're
yes,
precious.
Lord.
Praise
Holy
the Lamb
precious
of God.
Lamb of God. Precious Lamb of God.
Every one of you that this call today. Praise
yes.
the Lamb. Hallelujah. You are precious in the eyes.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We love you. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Damn, you're precious. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you're precious. You praise, Raphael. You're precious. Praise the Lamb of God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I think we got another intercessor joining us now. Let me see. Here we go. Erico, let me see, 313.
Yes, Lord.
Prophet, I just dropped.
Just dropped and came back. All right,
yes.
Praise the Lamb, man of God. Hallelujah, you're precious in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah, divine is going to come.
Yes.
Hallelujah, and she's going to pray. It's the Lamb of God, that the Spirit of God, hallelujah, will fill every empty place. Praise God. Yes, Lord, that the Spirit of God will fill that void for those of you who don't feel loved. Hallelujah. Don't go and commit suicide.
Yes.
Don't even think about it. Tell the devil he's alive. Because Jesus loves you. And he has enough love for the place. We come against that demon today.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Name of Jesus.
Praise
the Lamb
of
God.
Hallelujah, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Yes.
For those in convalescent homes.
Yes.
Hospital wards.
Yes,
I want
Lord.
You, hallelujah, divine favor, for the miracle working power of God today.
Yes,
I know God. Give you brand
Lord.
New kidneys without a transplant.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Without this touching you. And I know he can heal you with this. Praise the Lamb of God.
Yes,
you'll never have to go. Thank you, God, raised
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, God. We thank you, God, for filling every empty place in our lives today, God. We thank you for filling every empty place in our hearts, oh God. God, you know those of us, oh God, that feel lonely, oh God, that feel alone, God. We're asking you, oh God, to let us feel your presence like we've never felt it before, Lord God. Let us not look to outside things to fill the void, oh God. But let us stay wrapped up and tangled up and tied up in you, Father. Let us run to the rock that is higher than ourselves, oh God. God, there is a bomb in Gilead, and we receive you today, God. Saturate every organ, saturate every emotion, saturate us from the inside out, Father. Fill the voids, oh God. Heal the inside hurts, oh God. Cause a supernatural deliverance to take place. Break and destroy generational curses. Oh God, your little child inspire us to cry out. Deliver today. Cause us to release hurts in parents. Release hurts, oh God, in co-workers. Release hurts, oh God, in our enemies, oh God. Cause a release today, God, that we've never experienced today, God. Oh God, we praise you, oh God, for a mighty move. We thank you that we not only seek them, but we know your miracle working power is on this phone line tonight, today, God. And we give you praise for it, God. We thank you that you're moving by your spirit. God, we ask you to touch our sister, Shatwan, God. Touch her in a special way, God. Oh God, she is the apple of your eye, God. Let her feel your touch today. Move by your spirit, God. Oh God, go to the hospital bedside. And let her feel the presence of your angels, oh God. Not just the doctors and the nurses, oh God. Move by your spirit. God, we believe you for a right now miracle. We have faith, now faith, God. And we believe that you're doing it now, supernaturally. God, we thank you for putting super on our natural today. The doctors can only do so much. The medicine can only do so much. But you're the great physician. And God, you said laughter was like medicine. We cause the joy of the Lord to spring up in our sister, God. We praise you right now for your miracle, God, for your miracle testimony. Oh, God, touch. Touch those kidneys. You have the power to cause them to be brand new. My God, and the Spirit said, God, and we thank you. Oh, God, we praise you right now, God. We praise you even for the convalescent, God. We thank you, God, for you said we not forget the widows, oh, God, and even the older, oh, God, the ones that can't take care of themselves. God, let them not for the long, God. God, let them be getting the proper care, oh, God, when they're in the nursing homes and when they're on the cause your angels to be in kids, God. Cause ministering angels to be set in place. Cause our intercessors, oh God. Those that have been elected to lay here, cause them to operate in their gifts today, God. Cause them to move our faith today, God. Cause them, oh God, to lay hands, oh God, and this realness to go, God. Cause lives to be regulated today, God. Even in the convalescent home, oh God. Even on the mental ward, oh God. Even in the hospital, God. Those that have been given, oh God, a death sentence, God. We decree and declare the death sentence has been canceled. We call for the healing of the spirit into the natural. Move by your spirit, God. Move by your spirit, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for love and unity. Love and unity today, God. Heal and deliver. Let not be banned, oh, God. Oh, God, we look at this as a companion. You said, Lord, you be with us always. You be that husband. You be that boyfriend. You be that girlfriend. You be that need that we need that you promised that you will fulfill, God. Oh, God, we trust you. We acknowledge you, Lord God.
God. We're receiving the miracles and the testimonies right now, God. Oh, God, somebody on this phone line today, oh, God, is feeling empty. We thank you that their cup is running over right now, God. It's not a temporary fix, oh, God, but it's a permanent praise, God. Oh, God, you said, God, have the praises of your people. Jesus, not to just praise you, but to bring your praise. Wherever we go around there, it's praise there, God, even in our countenance, God. For your glory, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And it is so. We stand in heaven and it is so. In the name of Jesus. Kill the shut in. Kill the voice, oh God. In Jesus' name. God, even memories, God, cause memories to be regulated. Get in the chemicals, balance out the chemicals in the hormones and in the brain today, God. We come against all times. We come against the symptoms of dementia. They say they don't have a cure. They say they can throw the fibers, but you are Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. We call you by your name, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Do it for your glory, Jesus.
Yes, oh God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Dear God, in the name of Jesus.
Leave you go.
Yes, God, we believe you, Jesus. Ha. Thank you, Lord. Ha. Thank you.
Yes. Your God.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Your God today gives you praise in the mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, praise the Lamb of God. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I am about all these prayers. My goodness gracious. The Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Tell people of God, listen. I want to talk to you guys, the Lamb of God, in discussion with this made panel now. Praise the Lamb. We're going to switch and talk a little bit. Praise God about this demon, hallelujah, of death that's on young men. Praise the Lamb of God. We want to talk about the spirit of Cain. We want to enter into dialogue one with another. Praise the Lamb of God. So we can expose the works of the enemy. Praise the Lamb of God. So that we can counteract. Hello, somebody. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that we can become snipers in the spirit realm. So that we can become special forces against this spirit that comes against our young men, praise the Lamb of God, and cause them to seek to kill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And also, this demon, praise the Lamb of God, that causes hatred in the hearts of people that's so strong that they're killing, praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Such as, praise the Lamb, what we believe to be the case with Trayvon Martin. And we hate to have to use him as an example, but brothers and sisters, you know, those of us with discernment, we know, praise the Lamb of God, hallelujah, that was not supposed to happen. As far as I'm concerned, that was premeditated murder. Praise the Lamb of God. He thought that out. Hallelujah. He knew the laws. Hallelujah. When he got his CCW, he knew the laws of Florida that governs the gun. He knew what he had to do to shoot them.
Wow.
He knew. Trayvon didn't know the law. That man knew it. And nobody mentioned that. You know the law. You knew you could shoot him and get away with it. Trayvon didn't have that knowledge. He would have kept running. He would have been on his knees begging for his life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So I want to enter into dialogue. So many of our cities, and don't y'all forgive me if I get a little holy indignation in me because I'm a prophet. I can't help it sometimes. Praise the Lamb of God. But I want to talk about this because, hallelujah, there's so much death, praise the Lamb of God, going on in our society. So much death going on, praise the Lamb of God, in our cities. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And it's young men. The funeral homes, the morgues are full of young men of the age of 25 and down. Mm-hmm. And this must stop, especially in our ethnic. The jail is full of men, praise the Lamb of God. And I hate to be biased, but it's full of African Americans.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And a lot of it, that is because of an unjust system.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah. And can't nobody tell me that there's no such thing in this day and time as racial profiling. The devil and I with a towel on, slipping over the fence. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's all that was on Trayvon.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, he probed, but it wasn't racial. The devil a lie. So a black man with a hoodie on. I don't believe if that was a white boy with a hoodie on, he would have followed him. Eating Skittles. Praise God. Hallelujah. So now, brothers and sisters, let's talk about this for a minute. Praise the Lamb of God. 818, I see you. Give me a minute here. Let's talk about that just for a few minutes. Praise the Lamb of God. What is really happening? Now, I might be blind to it. Call me old school. I might be blind to what's really going on. I see in the spirit, I see this ugly demon, praise the Lamb of God, that's loose. Hallelujah. But what do you all see? We have different ages on the line, praise the Lamb of God. What do you all see as it relates to the cause of these unsensical deaths? And all of it is not racial because it's a lot of black-on-black crime.
Yes.
Praise
yes,
the Lamb
yes,
of God.
Yes.
Unbrotherly brothers.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Prophet, I would love to start. I would love to start on this.
The mic is in your hand.
As a black man growing up, I did a lot of studying on black history as a young man coming up. And one of the things I noticed is that it's been going on since the beginning of time. We already know with slavery and how it affects. But when the Willie Lynch thought process was implemented during slavery, it was set up to last for 400 or more years. If you go back and search and read the Willie Lynch letter, that exact letter, Willie Lynch, that came over from England, and they couldn't figure out why so many slaves were running and trying to get away. So they said, that's how we'll do it. We'll start hanging them, and we'll start scaring them. And they began to implement that to cause hate, to cause deceit between each other. So throughout the years, it hasn't really changed. Even during the slavery days, even during the 50s when you had, or the 40s when you had those different light-skinned, brown-skinned relationships and racism, it goes on from generation to generation to the drug era. And now it has manifested so to the 400 years that it's a crab in a barrel. Everybody's pulling each other up, pulling each other out of a barrel. Everybody trying to climb out this barrel, trying to make it, and everybody pulling each other down. Competition, deceit, envy towards one another. And it's gotten to the place that they're so scared of black men that our value of life is been brought down to an all-time low. Well, it hasn't. We started out at three-fifths of a person. So now as black men, we're even lower at this place. So you put in the drugs, you put in the guns, you put in the lack of education, you put in the breaking of generations where the fathers have not been there to show the young men how to grow up. You put all these things in place, and right now you see the manifestation of it. And right now it's changing it so that the value of life of black men is so low because we kill each other. That, okay,
yep,
y'all carrying guns, y'all, it's no big deal. Like, y'all kill each other anyway. How are you an outrage? And what I believe right now with the Trayvon situation, and not only Trayvon Martin, because I would like to just give notice to a young man named Darius Simmons. that was 13 years old that was shot in the chest in Wisconsin that nobody's really talking about, where a 76-year-old man got off with accusing him of stealing, shot this boy taking out the garbage in front of his own house, left his body for dead in the street. And his and not only did they leave his body dead in the street, they interrogated his mother for 2 hours while he lay on that street. And not only for that, they went in the house and arrested his brother for outstanding warrants. The man is off on,
probation.
Bail right now. Yeah, he's on bail right now, a 76-year-old man. So this is going on throughout the country. Trayvon Martin is a martyr right now. And when you talked about Cain and Abel was that martyr of faith, of that martyr of truth. So right now the truth is that racism exists like never before. If you go in any city, segregation is prevalent. The school system, the segregation is prevalent. Education, the school system is prevalent. It's prevalent, and we act as leaders. We're scared to talk about it. Oh, we're racism. Y'all playing a race card? No, racism plays a major factor in this thing.
Now I want to do something. I want to just say this while in the midst of you speaking. We must understand that prejudice is something that's in the heart and the spirit of a person to prefer their own kind and dislike others. Racism is prejudice with an aim, and that is to control the destiny of other people for my betterment.
Yes. Yes.
To control your destiny. So, and what Brett is saying, you know, I agree. However, we must understand that a lot of the majority, watch this, of what we see, and I'm going to go down just a quick list for you, and then we can enter back into dialogue on your side. But the majority of all that we see in our communities is a result of racism. Praise the Lamb of God. They put us one against another. That's number one. Praise the Lamb of God. Since slavery. And they still do it.
Yes.
Number two. Praise the Lamb of God. We're easily paid off. We're easily made to see how we can make money off the backs of people who are suffering just like we suffer, and we don't care. Now that's like slave master, but they bring it to our level with drugs,
yep,
and things of that nature. You can get rich in your poor community off of poor people selling drugs. Praise God. I ain't never seen a drug cartel shut down that was African American. Never. Number two, I have never seen a black manufacturer of guns. So how do guns get in our community? Who bring them in? The same people, praise the Lamb of God, that smuggles them out of the country, smuggle them into our communities. How in the world does our community get a hold to so many firearms, AKAs? What? How did you get this gun? All of these type of things. The next thing is the shaping of our society's image in the minds of America is done through television, is done through the media, and it's done through music. Praise the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The rap music has helped shape the society we see today. With all this death and violence, then we must understand the propaganda that comes down, praise it, which is racism, to form a view of you that's untrue. They can take one person and stereotype all of us. One person. One person and stereotype through that box we call the television. And we must understand that. All right. Praise the Lamb of God. The ball is in you all's court. Go.
Prophet,
who wants the mic?
Raphael.
Raphael, go ahead.
I was just listening to you talking about stereotypes. And one thing that I learned back in when I was a younger child is when you're in the third grade, when young men get to the third grade, they start stereotyping them. They begin to determine whether they're going to be in jail or not by the third grade. And so they start building different different jails and different places to put these people because they think that they're going to be bad off. But one thing that I see now in America, or what's going on in the United States, is that a lot of times our young men, we're growing up and we're being trained and we're being taught in the way of God. But then when we get older, we want to rebel because we think that it's cool to do what our friends are doing, or we think that it's cool to be in the in crowd. And we're not realizing that, you know, in essence, that's not really what's popular. That's not really what's in. And so because we're doing it don't mean that we're popular. It doesn't make us no better of a person. It means that you're doing everything else, and the United States and people are actually watching you, and they're watching what you're doing, and it could cause you to be stereotyped. It can cause you to be in a jail cell for the rest of your life. And I have known people that have come up with me in the church, and, you know, we've been to church, and we were ordained, and we were licensed, and we were ministers. And I know some people that now, even in their being ordained and being licensed, you know, they're still trying to be in the in crowd. They're still trying to be with the people and do what people do. But one thing that I'm realizing is that, you know, it's this image on our men or our young men across America, especially our African-American males, that they have this image of I have to be hard, I have to be seen, I have to be make myself made known to people. And so we walk around with our pants sagging, not really realizing what the pants sagging mean. We walk around with these big old T-shirts on, like they're dresses or something. We walk around with our hats on, our earrings on, and our sunglasses on, and then we think that people are not going to say anything or nothing is going to happen. But there must be a response. Something must happen, you know, for people to realize that, you know, this is not the way, you know. And I constantly walk around and I see these people with their pants sagging and think that it's wonderful. And I just shake my head because, you know, I was trained to walk around. If you're going to walk around with the pants on, you're going to put a belt on, and you're going to walk around. If you're going to walk around with a long shirt, you're going to tuck it in your pants, and you're going to make it look nice and professional. Because you never know who's watching. You never know what job may be looking. You never know what professional basketball player or professional football player is looking at you. But in today, you know, our guys and, you know, the men are not really looking at that. They're looking at, you know, this is who I am. You know, the rest of the people are doing it, so I'm going to do what everybody else do because it's going to make me fit in. But fitting in can cost you your life. Fitting in can cause you to be behind prison bars.
Tell me this, Raphael, and you're closer to the age group. How old are you, Raphael?
26.
Okay, you're 26. So you're right there on the borderline of the age group that we're speaking of, and that's becoming a genocide, if you would, in our society. And this is what I want to put forth to you guys, and this is very fruitful conversation, matter of fact. And that is, tell me this, should my dress get me killed? I mean, even if I got saggy pants on and a big shirt, a hoodie, sunglasses, hat on, turned to the side with some red gym shoes on. I got on some red and white Air Jordans, a hoodie that's red with a white stripe on it with an Air Jordan sign on it. I got some a pop in my hand. I'm walking down the street. Should that cause harassment on me? Because this is my style of dress. I had a friend, Brad, he's preaching now, named Leroy Elliott in Chicago. He still pastors at the St. John Church there on Washington Boulevard in Chicago. When Leroy Elliott first came to Chicago, Leroy Elliott had, couldn't been no more than about, I guess, about 19, 20, no more than 21 to pastor the church. He was one. He was the youngest pastor in the city. He had still has a dynamic gift to sing, sung quartet from the cradle, and can preach. I mean, he can really preach. And Leroy Elliott, his dress style caused so much commotion in the city among preachers and among people. Until they called him a drug dealer, they called Leroy Elliott everything, but he is still one in the Baptist arena, one of the leading evangelists in this country. Why? Because Leroy ain't never been to jail. He ain't never he from Louisville, Kentucky. Came here with a gold tooth in his mouth, just country sharp. And dressed to kill every time you saw him, and stereotyping people, and this, praise the Lord, because of their dress is not a fair, praise the Lamb of God, evaluation to me, that because this boy is dressed this way, I'm going to treat him inferior, because he has this on. Without checking out the content of his character. I had a sagging pants guy with us when I drove down to Louisville for the Friday night services. On the way back, he rolled back. He pulling his pants up every time he get out of the car, going to the gas station. But in the car with us, he talked about Jesus and went back there studying and writing more than anybody. But to just look at him, somebody probably would think that, you know, he ready to rob the gas station instead of going there and buy a potential. So I wanted your opinion on that.
Well, you know, I do know that, you know, you should not judge people based on their, you know, based on their dress, because you definitely can, you know, see somebody sagging and they can be the most educated person you ever meet. I have my brother that's right under me. Is 24, and he is, you know, he wear his pants sagging, and he's not into church like I am. But when you sit down and have a conversation with him, he talks very intelligently, and he's very smart. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, even as a community, I don't think that we should judge people based on how they dress. But I have seen that dress has become a major issue for our country, because, you know, people are discriminating and people are stereotyping our young men based on their dress, not realizing that some of these people have high school diplomas, not realizing that some of these people have college degrees, you know, and, you know, who's to say, who can tell us, you know, really how to dress? Because, you know, sometimes I like to wear, you know, my skinny jeans with my nice button-up shirt, you know, that fit me tailor-made and stuff like that. And it's not, you know, that I just want to wear tight clothes. It's that it's how I like to dress. And so people are going to talk about you, you know, whether you dress with baggy clothes, whether you dress in tight clothes, whether you dress, you know, with your clothes off, with your clothes on. People are going to talk about you. But in essence, they should really take the time to get to know you, get to know your character, get to know your integrity, get to know you for who you really are, because then, you know, it will say, well, you know, I sat down and talked to this person, and yeah, he may sag his pants, but in on the inside, he has a true heart for God. On the inside, you know, he's very educated. On the inside, he truly has a mind that's about goals and striving for success.
All right. All right, praise God. Good, 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 good. Respond. Ladies, what y'all have to say about this, ladies? No women have anything to say? Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Then we're back to the thing. Let me see. 818 area code.
Hey. Good morning,
hey.
Topic Man. How you doing?
You're blessed.
Yeah, I'm blessed too. Yeah,
wonderful.
I just want to say I was raised in that area, so I'm familiar with the whole Sanford and Orlando, Kissimmee area. I was raised about 20, 30 minutes outside of that area. So that's been going on over there for a long time. You know, it's nothing new, nothing new at all. I have friends that was raised up there or raised in that area and still live there, and they said that we just happened to walk in, and what happened just pretty much exposed what they've been dealing with for years. They say the cops forever follow you around. Unfortunately, the white people, that's how they treat the African-American men and women there. That's just, he says, it's just, it's very segregated. It's, you know, one things they have to deal with there is the cops following people around every single day, you know, whether you coming from work or just hanging out in the area. And when they fired, I guess, the head chief of police over there, they said it didn't make the problems go away. Pretty much it's gotten worse over there. It's gotten worse, so, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, when you're speaking of the police, you know, it's one thing, but we're talking about really the black-on-black crime and hate crimes that's taking place in our society. We know about gangs and, you know, this, that, and another, but these neighborhood vigilantes and these people who are stereotyping our children and looking at them and saying, oh, you this or you that because you wear these kind of clothes. I wish I had a college that I was a university or something that had a graduation coming up this summer. I would have all of them in hoodies.
Yeah, I agree.
With diplomas in their hand and put it on international television, let all of them wear their hats turned to the side. Because that does not define an individual. Martin Luther King Jr., some 40-something years ago, said that his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I move forward to say the content of their character, praise the Lamb of God, we need to add and tell and teach our young men, you live in America. You live in a society that you first need to learn the language of your oppressor. You must learn how to communicate with your oppressor on an intelligent level. When you start talking that, no, yeah, man, you can't talk to them that way. You must be able to communicate on an intelligent level. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
So one of the reasons why I said was saying something about the cops, because it starts a lot with there. Because if they see them handling them, I mean, doing that, then they feel they can follow them. That's what happens a lot of times in those small areas. That's what people don't understand, is that because they treat them one way and they treat us another way, it makes them, it escalates the situation. And that's why they got rid of that guy. I mean, it's really, really bad. That's why I felt like he felt he can go around and do that, because that's what George Zimmerman was doing, was pretty much what the cops do all the time there. So that's why he felt like he can do it. You know, it's like a monkey-see-monkey-do situation.
Prophet.
Go ahead.
As African Americans, we're at a place in history where we're the wealthiest at any point in our lives. So as segregated neighborhoods, if we don't have any control of our neighborhoods, if we don't have any true programs to help develop our young people, if our school systems are headed in a negative tone, a negative direction, then none of the young people are even getting guidance or getting the learning or getting the training or getting the things that they need
to be productive. They're already going in with their hands or behind the eight ball. And this situation should bring change in the community. If something's got to happen where the community got to stand up, looks like we're outraged about what's going on with Trayvon Martin. We should be outraged in Chicago, in Detroit, in California, across
right.
the country, saying we need to change something. We need to change the way the world perceives us as black men. We need to change. Look, if I'm a young black man on the street and I'm just watching another young man be killed in that manner, then we need to stand together and say, okay, we're going to do something different. We're not going to tear up our own neighborhood. Let's clean up our neighborhood. Let's make this particular area safe. Oh, as leaders, let's put our money together. As all you NBA athletes with all these millions of dollars, put some money together, help open up a couple of vacant schools. You know how many empty schools are inside of Detroit. It wouldn't take but one or two players on one team to open up an elementary school, redevelop it, and create a program to get some of these boys off the streets through basketball, through football, through boxing, through swimming, and give these guys some training. We could point the blame all we want. They're saying they got on saggy jeans, they got on big T-shirts. Man, I'm 40 years old, and I like to wear jeans in a T-shirt and jogging pants. I just left out of a restaurant, and because I had my hat on sideways, this white man from Indiana looked at me like I was crazy. Looked at me. I know the look on his face. Looked at me like I was crazy. I just left a restaurant. It looked at me like I was, like, who is this, you know what I'm saying? Looked at me just like that. Don't know that I'm a college educated. Don't know my history. Don't know what I've been through. But you automatically assume it for what you're looking on TV. So at some point, the black community can point the finger all they want. But what they need to do is look in the mirror. What am I doing to help my kid? What am I doing to help my neighbor? What am I doing to help the church member, the little boy who said, why you don't come to church? Because they're saying my pants sagging, or they're saying my T-shirt this, or they're saying I'm doing that. But what programs are you developing to help these kids? What are we doing, man? I'm telling you, it's easy to point the finger. It's real easy.
We need more programs and things of that nature. Moving forth, Angel and I sat down in this last week and even yesterday to formulate a greater youth ministry. As even, you know, we're not one of the larger churches, but still we're formulating a youth ministry that will help to facilitate a more or a greater a sense of awareness of who you are and to whom you belong and to what is expected of you by God. And now, brothers and sisters, you all may disagree with me, but I don't believe God created us to be ignorant. Hello, light bulbs. Praise the Lamb of God. And in the year 2013, I don't think there is no reason for any of us to be ignorant. I think it's the disease of a mind that will not educate itself. I believe there's something wrong in the cultural upbringing, the philosophical view of an environment, no matter how centralized one wants to point the finger at, it could go all the way down to the home, that education of some type is not pushed, that intelligent speaking is not pushed, at least when they communicate with their parents. We must get back to a rule in our homes that's spilled out on the street. Now, call me what you want to, but I couldn't say uh-huh to my mother. I couldn't say no to my mother.
Yep.
It was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And intelligently talking. I couldn't talk like I was talking outside with my friends to my parents. And that has to change.
Yeah.
You must, first of all, respect yourself to get respect. You must do that. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. To get respect, you must respect yourself. If you don't respect yourself, then don't expect to be respected. I keep sharing with our young people, Brett, Praise the Lamb of God. You all want to dress like people on stage. They getting paid to dress like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z, Kanye West, whoever else you want to put in there, all the rappers, whatever they're wearing, they getting paid to dress like that. They getting paid to come on stage with pants sagging, showing their underwear, and all of these different kinds of designer clothes and this, that, and another, because they want an image of their own to project so that they records and stuff are sale. And then you look at their picture and you go out and try to buy what they wear and you don't have a record nowhere. You're not going on nobody's stage. Nobody.
They just want to talk like
you rapping. You using lyrics off a rap song in your daily speech that only people who listen to rap can interpret. And you think that's cool. When in fact, everybody else see you as a fool. Listen to me again. The greatest thing that the Africans did when they crossed over, they learned the English language so that they could communicate with their master. When you can't communicate, praise the Lamb of God, with another society, they fear you. You become an animal. Ding dong. You become an animal. You become something to watch and fear because I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what's coming out of your mouth. Your language is uncommon to me when you can't speak the language. All of us crack jokes about going into Chinese restaurants, Asian restaurants, and trying to ask for some extra soy sauce or something, and they just start speaking in their language as though they don't understand you. We crack jokes about that. Our comedians doing everything, and it causes a dislike for them. I hate to go up there. They always act like they can't understand nothing you're saying. That separates people, language barriers. And that's what we have in America among African Americans. We have formed a language in our community that's no good outside of it. But we are not the power yet. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome oppression. We shall overcome ignorance. We shall overcome. As Brit is saying, when we change things. Praise the Lamb of God. We got some more callers. Error code 818.
Good morning, Prophet. This is Albertine. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you clear.
I want to say you are so right on the money. There was a few things I wanted to touch on, but I want to go really quick. Being a African-American mom raising two children, when the other guy talked about the schools and about education, I have a nonprofit organization that's called the PAD-B Project, and what that's called, Parents Against Teacher Bullying and Any Type of Bullying. And what I've noticed, even being in the valley, you would think, okay, you move to the valley, you want to give your kids a better education, you want to put them in a different environment, but not necessarily so, because I have found that even being in the valley in Woodland Hills, that is some of the most racist schools that I have ever seen. I have both of my kids are athletes. My oldest son, Isaiah, is an athlete. He's everybody knows him all over the valley. But I understand the dynamics of when he says when you wear the shirts and you wear, they automatically racial profile you because they don't understand you. I don't care what you wear. You can be an athlete. My sons have walked into different schools, and they dress as athletes. They have a certain swagger. They have a certain move about them. They automatically assume they're in gangs. They came from a bad neighborhood, but they're playing basketball, so we can use them. Oh, he's a football player. We can use them. I've had schools, teachers at school tell me that I'm not even going to give your son a D. I am going to fail him. I've had a teacher call me and told me they couldn't say my last name because it was a bad word. Really? For real? My last name is a bad word? But it shows you about if you do not educate your children, explain to them what their rights are as young adults, African Americans, have a relationship with them, have a relationship where your children will come to you and talk to you and say, Mom, the teacher said this about me, or Mom, I'm being bullied, and understand how to tackle those issues. We're losing our children because they don't want to talk to you, so they're going to go join gangs. They're going to go get into different things that they shouldn't be getting into. It starts at home. Like you said, you couldn't say certain things to my mom. We couldn't say certain things to our mothers either. We have lost the communication with our children. We have to go back and re-educate ourselves so that we can have better communication with our children and educate our children. I told my son, Isaiah, you have to understand, although you're a star athlete, they still look at you as an N. You better believe it. You can be the best player in the valley, and the way people still view you, they'll use you for your potential, they'll use you for your talent,
truly.
And when they're done using you, they're done.
Well,
they're done.
The
they still look at you that way. Your swagger, your style.
Players now.
Yeah. Who you are
those
now, you've got to
professional
understand
ball
recognize.
Now, when they get through, they be broke. They be broke.
Exactly.
They be an outcast, and they be looked at as dumb.
Exactly.
Because
and
they
had
all these millions
to.
Of dollars with no brain.
Exactly. And what happens is
wait,
you get
supposed
a,
to sign a $20, $30 million contract over a couple of years. And then when you quit playing ball, in a couple of years, you broke.
Because they're not teaching them to invest money. Give back to education. Go back and do one coach athlete that I do know that does that is Kenny Smith. He's excellent. He does programs. He only charges $100. He takes the parents out. He makes sure you have the right grades. You cannot play in this program if you don't have certain grades. So I commend him. I give him that. But it's so many, the reason why is because we're just glamorizing it. It's like we sit and just glamorize, oh, yeah, you can drive a Bugatti and you can have this big house. But they're not seeing the underlying of what it takes to get there and how it is for you to just keep what you have, educate your children, invest your money, because, you know, you're going to be looked and viewed as, I don't care how much money you got. When it all comes down, when these athletes get in trouble, there go that end right there. There go that racist. There go that drug addict. And it doesn't matter. And see, we're not being told that. We're not educating our kids. I tell my kids, my brothers went to jail at 17, 18 years old. They've been in jail for 30 years. My sons, I'm breaking the generational curse, and I'm turning it around, and I'm educating them like this is what the reason why they're in jail is because they got in gangs. The reason why they're in jail is because they wasn't educated and didn't know the process. Why do they have to go to prison?
Teach them
to
that
earn
too.
Two and three degrees.
Abertain, that you sit down with your children and explain to them why the people around them are in jail, why they are dead, this, that, and another, instead of just going off on a tantrum tantrum. I sat down with my...
No tantrum tantrum. I sit down and I give it to him.
With him,
I
said, son, Trayvon, first problem is the way he was dressed. I don't care what nobody say, it is. Well, his first real problem was he was black. Second problem is he dressed, his swagger, the way he carried himself, caused him to be suspicious in that man's eyes. If he had been dressed different, carrying himself different, smiling, walking down the street, waving at somebody, he probably would have drove past him.
But Bishop,
that's the honest God truth.
One thing I want to say to you too, when you think about the kids in the valley, the way Trayvon dresses, white boys dress like that too. They wear the sagging pants. They wear the hoodies. They wear, they.
White boys
like
ain't known for
look.
Breaking in homes. white boys are not known, I'm talking about known for. They have been racial profiled for being thieves, robbers, drug dealers, and baby mamas. They're not known to look like trash to society.
Yeah, some of them are, especially in the South.
Some are, but when you first think about a white boy, your mind don't think about a white boy in a hoodie or with pants dropped, no matter how young you say. You know, the young white boys, you speak of them, you do not see that image. When you speak of young black boys, that image pop in your mind.
Absolutely. But see, you have to also think about certain areas they profile them in, too. If my sons are walking to...
They profile them all over America.
But
through all television.
In certain areas, they don't.
Our
they
black actors need to stop acting out those roles.
Yes.
They need to stand up and say, what's his name, Stevie Wonder, say he not going to sing no more. They need to stand up and say, we not acting this out that all is in the black community is drugs and shooting and looting and exploiting our women.
Mm-hmm.
Our women ain't nothing but little hookers.
Mm-hmm.
That we use for our pleasure and slap them across the room and tell them to shut up.
Speak
prophet. Amen.
We must change that profile. But we so greedy that we're bought. And then when we pay, we become Amos and Andy. And some of y'all don't know who they are.
Yes, God.
We get on the stage. I'm going to do my dance today. You dance, Mr. Bojangle. But in the long run, you're going to find out they don't care about you.
That's right.
Because black flesh is sheep flesh.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
0313, your mic high.
Praise the Lord, prophet.
That's you. Holla, Dr. J, how you doing?
I'm great. Great. Thank you for your prayers. I felt them. Feel better. I have been enjoying the entire dialogue, and I think you touched the pulse, the heart of the issue. And we as individuals, as parents, as aunts, whatever role we play, if each one of us reach one, it starts in the home. We have to stop looking at other people to be the example for our children. We came up where there was always somebody involved in our lives. And we need more people who are willing to be on the front line to make that sacrifice, to make an investment, to be a big brother, to be a big sister, to model and demonstrate for our youth how it's done. And the benefits we receive are lasting. I still have young people coming up to me saying, I thank you for your deposit. I don't even remember them. But they say, I'm the person I am today because you took time out with me.
Hallelujah.
We're too self-absorbed. We're into ourselves and what I need to do, and we don't take time out for other people. We talk about them. How many of us even stop and say hello to the young men as they walk
by? Yes,
hallelujah. You know, I stop them. I say hello. I ask them their names. I say, what are your ambitions? What are you doing with your life? Are you in school? What are you planning on being? I said, now, when I see you again, I'm going to ask you the same question. You can do more than what you're doing. But we have to be willing to put ourselves out there.
Oh, let's go.
You know, like I said, I've enjoyed the entire dialogue. Stereotyping is everywhere. I was told recently that I could go to school and get more education, you know, because of the way I was dressed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good in what you're saying. Dr. J, all that Martin Luther King did for us as in civil rights, for all people's rights, also there are some others that need to be added to that list, and one of them is Mary McLeod Bethune, who pushed education wholeheartedly as one of the solutions to the issues of the barrier between black and white. I believe in my heart that a generation in America, because America has become a melting pot. If America survives, I'm going to say if America survives with cities bankrupting the way they are and government misuses of funds and misappropriations and things of this nature and making all kinds of laws every day that bind the hands of people from being successful or for doing what needs to be done with all that's going on, that could be an overthrow of the government in, you know, the next 10, 20 years. Who knows what's going to happen here in America. But at the same time, education is vital. And, you know, I tell my children this all the time, read something every day.
Amen.
Read something, people of God. Increase your knowledge every day. Don't just turn on the television and sit in front of it. Crack open a book every
Amen.
Day because people have that write books have written out of experience, have written out of their education, have written out of trials and tribulations that they're going through. That is much to learn, and it sharpens your vocabulary. So the
Absolutely.
Communication, praise the Lamb of God, is something. I mean, we all, you know, a lot of we have some now that, well, Obama is not doing that good, but he's not the president just because he was some patsy for them to say, let's make him the president. You all know they ran like heck against that man.
Yes, they did.
One thing he does have is communication skills. He knows how to communicate, and he's witty,
yes.
on his feet. He knows how to respond to various things, no matter how we see him. So we need to emulate some of that also. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. And those
Amen.
Of us believers, our children should be the leaders in every area.
Amen. You know, Prophet.
Especially if you paying the bills.
Amen.
How's your child dressing like that when you buy all their clothes? Well, I don't have my. Oh, yes, I do. Here it is, right here. Here it is. Ding dong. Oh, your child dressing like that, and you buy their clothes.
Well, Prophet, we were told you wear what I buy you.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
the problem.
I'm going to have to
I've said this a million times. When you give your child the power of choice of dress, the power of choice of eating, the power
right.
of choice when they get ready to go to bed, when you give your child the power of choice for whatever they're going to watch on television, for however they're going to talk, and this, that, and another, your child has become the adult.
That's true.
And when you try to change that, you are going to have a problem.
That's true.
Disrespect for you is on the horizon, and I want you to know it. Praise the Lamb of God. The control you have over your child is, I have the power of choice and decision in matters. I am the last word.
Amen.
I wish, you know, this started in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
When you see kids falling out in the grocery store because they want a certain kind of Cheerio, and their mama go and get it, she got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
My mama would have looked broke both ways.
Mm-hmm.
She would have pinched you so hard and said, now you got something to cry about.
Yeah, pop inside your head, boy.
We
Absolutely.
Have lost control of the environment.
Yeah.
The government has lost control of government. The governors have lost control of their states. The city has lost control of their cities. We have lost control of our communities.
True.
We have lost control of our young people. The flip side of the coin is, why are young people 16 and 17 years old are out on the streets at 2 and 3 in the morning? The hour of shooting. Look at the hour they were shot. Look at the hour they were killed. The hour they were found.
Well,
and the majority of them is at night.
Uh-huh. If we didn't
when the street lights came on, you was on the porch. Somebody know what I'm talking about.
I know
when
what you're
the
street
lights came on, you was on the porch. If not in the house, you was on that porch.
Or voice range. If I called your name, you better answer. You better be running.
And if I call you, what grandmama used to say, you better be in earshot.
You better be running like crazy.
And you better break dance, get into the house.
You better break dance, get to
get into that house.
My mom's policy was, if you didn't make it by the time she put that second lock on, you may as well stay where you were.
Now, people of God, let me tell you all this. We are living in a society in America. I'm going to say this, and somebody not going to like it, and you can just go jump in the lake, because I know I'm telling
Big
the prophet. Truth. That was not designed for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what shade you are. It wasn't designed for you.
Mm.
American dream wasn't designed for you.
True.
Amen.
The American dream was not designed for slaves. It was designed for slave owners. The American dream, praise the Lamb of God, is given to other ethnics that come here. Mm-hmm. They loan them money to open stores and everything right in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in the bank and get a loan to go in business, and they're going to turn you down flat unless you have matching funds.
True.
Hello, somebody. Drop your business plan and go and see. Because it's not for you. It never was for you. Then I'm going to tell you another thing. Woodson said, the miseducation of the Negro. The majority of us, our oral education is been messed up. Our oral education has been messed up. We have not been taught right concerning, as Martin Luther King would call it, the other America. We are a country in a country now. But there is another America that is not user-friendly to us. And until we come together, as Brett said earlier, and unite our forces, unite our minds, and unite our strength like every other ethnic and society in America does, except us. Hello, light bulbs. Praise the Lamb of God. When we unify our minds and hearts in intelligent dialogue like we're having now, we're going to wake up. When we unify ourselves, praise the Lamb of God. Somebody said, this ain't got nothing to do with prophecy. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Because I see in a future that my granddaughter is not going to have a husband.
No husband.
This has a lot to do with prophecy. I see in the future that there's going to be a lack of male pastors in churches. Male prophets. Male evangelists. It has a lot to do with prophecy.
Broken households, constant generational curses, constant...
Perverted society. Because there is no men. Somebody's husband. Or turning to each other. Or self-satisfying. Or being content. Y'all got mighty quiet on that one.
Well, that's all truth, Prophet. All truth.
Y'all better listen to me today. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. It's getting worse and worse. It's not getting better because we refuse to look ahead and see the bridge is out. We're on a train without a conductor. And the bridge is out.
And everybody partying on the train.
Going, but no one is adhering because we're having too much fun on the train.
Party on the train.
Got another caller, then we're going to do some praying. Praise the Lamb of God. 815.
Good afternoon, Prophet and everybody. This is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
I'm listening to the show, and, you know, it brought back to mind, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a time where the community looked out for one another. If your grandma was sitting in the window and she saw you doing something, you already knew you were in trouble because when your parents got home, there was a report being made. And not only did you get a whooping from your parents, but you also got a whooping from their grandmother. And, you know, you just said when the street lights came on, you said you had to be on the porch. Well, we had to be in the house, in the tub, and in the bed before Sabbath. And I just was talking to a group of young ladies that did not want anyone disciplining their children but them. And I told them, you know, that's why we're in the condition that we're in now. Because when I came up, if I saw your child doing something and I knew that you did not condone what he was doing, that gave me the right to discipline your child and then tell your child when your mama get home, I'm going to tell her about it too. But now you have these children that will tell you, well, tell my mama, I don't care. You ain't got no business whooping me or putting your hands on me. When my children came up, I raised my kids the way that my mother raised me. If you saw my child doing something you knew he had no business doing, that gave you the right and the authority to discipline my child and then tell me about it when I came in and I got on him as well. And I wish my child would have parted his lips and said, well, I'm going to tell my mama. I'm going to give you something to tell her. We're in a society now where the enemy is destroying the head of the household. And as long as he can do that, he doesn't have to do anything else because nothing will work. But when we begin to raise our children, you know, it's hard for a single mother to raise a man. We can only tell them so much, but a man has to come in and teach them. And we're living in a society where the enemy is saying, if we can get the father's minds off the children, then we've got the entire household.
Well, the Bible says if you save a man, you save his house. So if you lose a man, you lose his house. That's the Bible. Save a man, you save his house. But what happens if I lose the man?
It's gone.
What happens then? See, we have a lot of comments on cause and effect, but we need remedy now.
Yeah.
And remedy is going to come first through our knees in praying and interceding for revelation and then inspiration to take that revelation and put it in place. We're going to need a time of reflecting. I posted on my friend's page today that yesterday is a giant upon which the midget of today sets upon, that he might appear into the future to see clear the way. So we can't forget our past, and that's what a lot of us as African Americans have done. When you hear the newscaster, oh, I don't think racism is that bad in America anymore. The devil a lie. You have forgotten your past. You don't understand the invisible chains of slavery. You don't understand what racism is. And how it caused you to think that you are somebody when really you're nobody. You're just a pawn being used for the king. And a lot of us don't understand that we're looked at as pieces on a chessboard that's indispensable when you start approaching the king, that we are pawns and foot soldiers on the chessboard that's being taken off at will and not even missed. We're not even missed off the board. We're just being wiped out, taken away. Why? Because they want to get us to a point that we are enslaved again.
Yes.
It's not looking good, people of God. It's not looking good. There are still people that want us in slavery, and we must remember that. There are still people who think because you work for them, you are in slavery. There are still people who believe that that's of the other America that believe that because of the color of your skin, you should not make the money they make. Because of the color of your skin, your children shouldn't play with their kids. But they are forced in some of our communities to have to dwell with us and go to school with us, but they don't want to. I have a Caucasian lady that lives right across from me, and I watch her coming and going. No matter who she walks by, she never speaks. You know why? She don't want to be here because we're here. I promise you that. She passed all African Americans going to her door. There's only one Caucasian couple that lives on the other side of her. She goes around there and talks to them and socializes with them.
Wow.
Papa, I've spoken 10 times, and it's always after I speak, she don't take her eyes off me until she thinks she's out of the reaching zone that I can get to her before she get in her door. And I come out in suits with a Bible under my hand. They don't want to be with us.
I know.
Their children can play with our children because children don't see color. But still they taught to see it.
Amen.
You put all little kids together and ask them what is the difference, and this one and that one, they'll start talking about his nose bigger. He's taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
She's louder than me. But when you put all of us in a room, what's different about him? He's black. The first thing they're going to say, because we're taught through a whole lot of different venues to identify that as alien as can be, a terrorist in their society that can be a troubled person, someone that's dangerous, someone that needs to be watched. Praise the Lamb of God. Our sons are dying. Daughters are dying too. But today, the spirit of Cain is alive. Jealousy provoked Cain to kill his brother. Covetousness provoked Cain to kill his brother. Hatred provoked Cain to kill his brother. These are enemies in our neighborhoods and communities. that would cause black boys to shoot each other down about crack rock, about white powder, and all other kinds of substances, about territory they don't own. You in our neighborhood. You in our neighborhood. When did you get deeds to the neighborhood?
Amen.
It's foolishness. Gross buffoonery. How did you get claim the whole neighborhood as yours in a negative perspective? That if that boy come over in our neighborhood, we gonna kill him. I don't know him. I don't know even know his intent. If he over here talking to one of our girls, I'm gonna kill him. We gonna beat him and kill him. Foolishness. You wearing the wrong scarf. You got on the wrong gym shoes. Foolishness. We know you're not from here because we don't dress the way you dress. Foolishness. We're killing our future bankers, our future lawyers, our future doctors. They're going down in the grave. Come on, Brett.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise saints.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Only God can
Father, we thank you, Father. Oh, God, we come right now, Father. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, Father God. God, we address you, Father God, the situation, Father. We expose, Father God, the enemy, Father God. We expose all the attacks on our community, Father God. We expose, Father, all the things that's going on in our society right now, Father God, all the ills and negative things, Father God, that are facing our people, Father God, that are facing our children, Father God, that are facing generations, Father God, of black men, Father God, and black women, Father God. Oh, God, I come right now, Father God, humble as I know how, Father God. Heart, pure it out, pour it out, Father God. God, to use me, Father God, as a vessel, Father God, to intercede on this situation, Father God. God, to be in attack with this demon, Cain's demon right now, God. God, that started in the beginning, Father God. But God, we know that you are able, Father God. We know, Father God, that you are able, Father God. We know, Father, we come to you boldly to your throne of grace, Father God. In mercy in the time of need, Father God, you will hear out from heaven, Father God, and heal this land, Father God. So we ask right now, Father God, that you forgive us, Father God, that you forgive our ancestors, Father God, that you forgive our grandmothers and grandfathers and our mothers and our fathers, Father God, and us up to this day, Father God, to this generation, Father God. If we haven't done our proper deeds, Father God, in guiding and teaching our young people right, Father God, if we haven't instilled discipline, Father God, God, if we haven't given guidance, Father God, we haven't given a good word to our children and reaching out and touching those, Father God, reach one, teach one, Father God, we come asking that you forgive us, Father God. And line us up right now in right standing, Father God. Oh, God, I lift up right now our young men right now, Father God, our African-American boys, Father God. Oh, God, I ask right now, Father God, that you touch their hearts and their minds, Father God. God, break up their hard hearts right now, Father God. God, break up the enemy, Father God, that's trying to make us fight against each other, Father God, and destroy each other, Father God. I ask that you go into the neighborhoods, Father God, to the street corners, Father God, to the drug houses, Father God. And I ask that you touch the hearts of those men, Father God, and those young boys, Father God. God, I ask that you touch, Father God, the bureaucrats, Father God, and the congressmen, Father God, and the people that have the power, Father God, to be able to implement laws and rules, Father God, and resources to be able to help our young people, Father God, as you touch their hearts, Father God, to release, Father God, the necessary resources, Father God, to train a different environment, Father God. I ask for a shift in the atmosphere, Father God, like never before, Father God. God, now let not these young people's lives go in vain, Father God. Let their blood, Father God, not be spilled out, Father God, into the earth, Father God. God, without a change, Father God. You said that blood purifies, restores, and it heals, Father God. So I cry out right now, God, for the blood that has been spilled right now throughout our country, Father God. I cry out, Father God, for the blood that has been spilled for centuries, Father God, and through our ancestors, Father God. I cry out, Father God, for the blood, Father God, that's been shed right now, God. God, Jesus Christ, Father God, that restores, Father God, that heals, that delivers, Father God, that sets free, Father God. I pray right now, God, that we break the invisible chains of slavery right now in our minds, Father God, and in our hearts, Father God.
I pray right now, God, that we break the invisible chain of slavery, Father God, on our finances, Father God. God, I break the crab in the barrel mindset, Father God, that we pull each other down, Father God. God, that we begin to degrade one another, Father God. But instead, Father God, we exhort and we lift up our community. God, that we come together in prayer, Father God. That we come together in prayer, Father God, and lift up our families and lift up our communities, Father God. I pray right now, God, for the priests, Father God, to begin to rise up in each and every household, Father God. Oh, God, I pray, God, that the men turn their hearts back to their children, Father God, and their families right now, God, wherever they may be, Father God. Touch them right now in Jesus' name, Father. Oh, God, I'm going to level check in the level shut down. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, I ask right now, God. Oh, God, I ask right now, God, for justice right now throughout this country, Father God. I pray right now, God, that you build us up, Father. Build up our faith, Father God. We trust in you, Father God. We trust in healing, Father God. We trust in deliverance, Father God. Oh, God, I pray right now, Jehovah Shalom, rest upon your people right now, God. I rest upon the parents right now, God. As their kids, Father God, step out at night, Father God. I pray they come back home safe, Father. Oh, God, I pray for the school system, Father God. I pray, God, for teachers step forward, Father God. Mentors and teachers, Father God. God, and leaders, Father God, that care, Father God, that really care. Not about the dollar, Father God, but about the children, Father God, and about their lives and about their future, Father God. Oh, God, I cry out, Father God, for those parents right now, God, that you strengthen them, Father God, that you give them wisdom and knowledge, Father God, and guidance, Father God. So they may raise up their children properly, Father God. So they may raise up their families properly, Father God. God, not in the world, Father God, but in you, Father God. Let us get back to love, Father God. Let us get back to our roots in you, God. Let us get back to you, Father. Let our communities get back to you, Father God. Let us get back to prayer, Father God. Let us get back to intercession, Father God. Oh, God, not intercession, Father God, once a week, Father God, but each and every night, Father God, crying out for our country, crying out for our community, Father God. God, I'm not ashamed, Father God. I'm not scared, Father God, to say I'm so bright, Father God. And I stand up right now for each and every African-American male, each and every African-American young man, Father God, each and every African-American young baby, Father God. I cry out for him right now, Father God. And I stand in the gap, Father. God, for those that don't know you, Father God, I stand in the gap right now, Father God. I cry out to you, Father. Oh, God, I cry out to you, Father God, asking that you have your way, Father God. God, that you bring healing and deliverance, Father God. Oh, God, break the chains, Father God. Break the chain of generational curses, Father God. Break the chains of that Willie Lynch curse, Father. Oh, God, it's been going on way too long, Father God. We war against it in the spirit right now, God. Oh, God, I pray right now, our heads of protection around your intercessors right now, God. Oh, God, I pray right now, God, that you strengthen us like never before in this season, Father God. Oh, God, we bind an attack of the enemy on our health, Father God. We bind an attack of the enemy in our homes right now. Oh, Satan, you have been served notice right now that your plan and your attack, oh, God, is being revealed. We bind it up in Jesus' name. We cast it back into the lake of fire where it belongs. Satan, you have been served notice. Oh, God, I cry out for the families, Father God. I cry out for the young mothers, Father God. I cry out for the single mothers, Father. Oh, God, I cry out for the widows, Father God, and the children, Father God, that don't have parents, Father.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, by your power, Father God, we need you to set the street, Father. There's too much innocent blood in the street, Father. We need you to set the street, God. Only you can do it, God. Only you can change the street, Father.
Oh,
God. Only you can do it, God. Only you can strip it,
God. Only you
can affect it. Only you can change it, Father God. I stand right now, Father God, as an intercessor, Father God. If you have to use me for your glory, Father God, use me so I can help you, God.
Oh, shut up.
Thank you, Father.
Oh,
God. Every question from the sound of my voice, Father God, across this country, Father God, let us unite in agreement right now, God. Let us unite in agreement, Father God, for healing and deliverance, Father God. Right now, Father God, as communities, Father God, let us come together, Father God, to reach out for our children, Father. Let us come together, Father God, as a people, and stop fighting and killing each other, Father God. I come against the senseless mothers in our communities, Father God. I come against drug abuse, Father God. I come against addictions, Father God. I come against incest, Father God. Rape, murder. God, we call it out, we cast it out in the name of Jesus. We bind it up, Father. Strengthen us, Father God. Strengthen us, Father God. Strengthen your intercessors right now. God, I pray right now for Prophet Shakespeare, Father God. Oh, God, let no weapon forward against the apostle right now, God, as he leads and heads this movement right now, Father God. In the social, Father God, let us use Facebook. Let us use Twitter, Father God. Let us use, Father God, Instagram. Not, God, to post pictures of partying, Father God. God, but begin to shift the atmosphere, God, and post things of injustices, Father God. Oh, God, let us post things, Father God, of truth, Father God. Oh, God, let us post things of exhortation, Father God. Oh, God, let us post things, Father God, of coming together as one, Father God, in unity, Father God, and oneness, Father God, to bind and stick and twist and attack against our people, Father. Oh, God, I ask that you release the financial blessings, Father God. Oh, God, we only can do it, Father God, by your power, your miraculous power, Father God. Oh, God, I cry out, Father God. I ask and I believe it so, Father. Oh, God, I stand and I believe it, Father God, crying out of tears of sorrow, Father God, but tears of joy. Oh, God, thank you for what you're doing in this season. I give your name the praise and the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of God, I want to say this to you. Hear the prophet right now. Praise the Lamb of God. I said he has heard our prayer. Hallelujah. He has heard our prayers, and I thank and praise God for that. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Then the Lord just spoke to me and said, I told you all earlier, I forgot that the Lord said he was going to speak during the show. Hallelujah. He just told me what to tell you all. Hallelujah. Understand this, people of God. God says, praise the Lamb of God, behold the pale horse, and him that rides this horse's name is death, and in his hand is the sword of vengeance. Because of the senseless death, the blood that has been shed in the streets, with no one caring, then blood will run. Death will come. This is what the Lord speaks. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. There's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And brothers and sisters, it's not going to be long. God is upset. God spoke to me the other day about Florida. Have mercy, Lord. That's all I can say. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Because God says when he comes, they're going to know. And they're going to know why. Hallelujah. Injustice and unrighteousness, anger, God. When blood runs and there is no judgment, there is justice, then God moves in. God says, tell them I love them, and that they are covered, says the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you all today. I bless you. Good dialogue that needs to be continued. Praise the Lamb of God. Brother Brett, I want to do this again next Friday. And let's come back with more remedies and more advice, praise the Lamb of God, on this whole situation to see what we can do. Thing resolved. I will have us more on next week. I love you all. I bless you all, Lamb of God. Have a blessed weekend, people of God. Let me say this to you all. Check the weather. Midwest, check the weather. They're talking about tornadoes, possible tornadoes, everything. Just started flash across the screen. I turned on television. Watch God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Obama says, praise the Lamb of God, that our black boys need to be encouraged and they need to know that America cares. That's what the president just said. It just scrolled across the screen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you all. Bless you all. Be blessed by knowing that our God has heard our prayer. Hallelujah. Justice is in the hand of God. And vengeance is in the hand of God. He will repay. They think God's dead. They think he don't care. But they're going to find out short just how much he cares. I bless you.
Bless you.